right, if you have your Bibles, let's turn to the first chapter of Hebrews. And as I've been thinking about this, we've spent quite a bit of time talking about authorship. And we've basically proven in a couple of verses in the second chapter that it was not the Apostle Paul who wrote the book of Hebrews. And the reason that we really don't have the authorship, though the likely candidate is Apollos, is because Apollos was a Jew of Alexandria, and he was very eloquent, you know, and Ananias and Sapphira, oh no, I got the wrong name. Aquila and Priscilla, yeah. Ananias and Sapphira, we don't want them. Aquila and Priscilla, you know, after they heard him preach, they took him aside and expounded on him the Word of God more perfectly. Now, you have to think about that. Now, who taught Aquila and Priscilla? Well, they were in business with Saul of Tarsus. Yeah. He was a tent maker, sail maker, and he worked with them and basically sustained himself that way as he traveled on his missionary journeys. So, if you think about it, and Peter mentions it in the third chapter of 2 Peter, how that Paul speaks of things, some things hard to be understood. And so, as we think about this, who of all of the apostles, who was the one apostle that was born, or not born, but born again, but was taught after the crucifixion, burial, and resurrection of our Lord from the dead? There's just one. It's Saul of Tarsus. And the Lord, as we read in Galatians and also in Acts, and put things together, we realize that all of the New Testament doctrine was basically, that's where we get it in the books that were written by Paul, 13 epistles of the New Testament. And so Aquila and Priscilla, you know, close personal friends of Saul of Tarsus, and they took Apollos aside, and we see it in the book of Acts. They took him aside and expounded unto him the word of God, what? More perfectly. He was an Old Testament saint, basically. He was a Jew of Alexandria, and basically, you know, the Jews had the sacrificial system, and all of that was a typical type of teaching, so that no animal sacrifice could ever take away sin. But every animal sacrifice that was offered properly represented the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, one sacrifice for sin forever. So when we put these things together, and then we see the scholars, and they say, well, the book of Hebrews is so Pauline. Well, now, if Aquila and Priscilla took Apollos aside and expounded unto him the word of God more perfectly, and who taught Aquila and Priscilla? You know, and it really kind of bugs me sometimes that once a, you know, somebody with a notable name, once he makes a statement, then we get the sort of thing that I got back when I was teaching at First Baptist, and I taught the fact that our Lord was, you know, couldn't be, you can't have Palm Sunday and Good Friday, because when we put it all together, if Christ was crucified on Friday, then you have to have Palm Monday. And if he's crucified on Friday, there aren't 3 days and 3 nights. which the scripture requires. You know, he had to be 3 days and three nights in the grave. And if you go back to Thursday, you can get Palm Sunday. But then what does that do? That makes our Lord a Sabbath breaker, because he traveled from the mountains of Ephraim to Jericho, and from Jericho to Bethany, 6 days before Passover. You know, will that be on the ninth of the month? Okay. So if he did that on the sixth day of the month, and the next day is Palm Sunday, he did it on a Sabbath. And the distance from Bethany to Jerusalem is a Sabbath day's journey. You can live in Bethany and go into Jerusalem and worship and come back on the same day, and that's a Sabbath day's journey. But the distance from Ephraim, which is north of Jerusalem, down to Jericho, which is, you know, along the Jordan River, and then from there up the mountain to Bethany, and you do that. And, of course, John, and this is where some of the problems come in, too, is John is the only writer of the Gospels that uses Roman time. Roman time is the way we keep time, from midnight to midnight. So when you're trying to reconcile things, and John says 6 days before Passover, well, that would be the ninth day of the month. Passover is always on the 15th of the month, you know. So, okay. And he gets there. They have a dinner for him. Well, when we figure it all out, he arrived on, he actually made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem on the Sabbath. It was a lawful distance for him to go. Okay, now, as we're looking at the book of Hebrews, and people say, well, it's so Pauline. Well, what do you expect it to be? Yeah. Because all of the learning that Apollos got, he got, he was well-versed in the Old Testament, but he was preaching, and then Aquila and Priscilla took him aside and expounded unto him the Word of God. What? More perfectly. That's what the book of Hebrews is all about. You know? And, you know, so from, we don't know that he's the writer of Hebrews, but of anyone named in the New Testament, he's the only one that fits the parameters. It can't be Paul. You know, Paul always signed every epistle. You know, and then Peter signed his. And James signed his. And, it's a crazy thing. So now we get in here and we start reading. And what we see is someone who understands. Now, if the Apostle Paul was the primary individual, remember, let's go to Galatians chapter 2. Okay? And and let's get here now. Let's see. Do I want? Okay. In Galatians chapter 2. First of all, Paul speaks about his salvation in the first chapter. And then he says, let's pick up at about verse 12. Verse 11 of the first chapter of Galatians. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached to me is not after man. Okay, where did he get it? He didn't get it. He was trained as a rabbi. He was a member of the Jewish Sanhedrin Council. He was the youngest ruler in Israel, and and more than likely the rich young ruler. Okay. So he says, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, or didn't have its roots in man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it. None of the apostles that who were involved with the personal ministry of our Lord. They didn't teach Paul. Neither was I taught it. But by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, what happened? After Paul, he went in. I've forgotten the name of the city right now. Anyway, he was on his way to Damascus. Okay, now I've got. He was going to Damascus. The Lord met him along the way, and he said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" Okay, and what was Saul doing as a member of the Jewish Sanhedrin Council? He had letters from the high priest to be able to arrest anyone who professed, anyone who was a Jew, to arrest any Jew who professed faith in Christ, and to try him. And if he could torture him, he could even put him to death. Yeah. And so Saul of Tarsus, before he became the Apostle Paul, was persecuting the church. And so we see that, and he says, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by what? The revelation of Jesus Christ." In other words, Jesus Christ himself revealed it to me. "For you have heard of my conversation or manner of life in times past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and did what?
Wasted it.
Profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals." In other words, he was a rich young ruler. Profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals or my peers in mine own nation, being much more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my father. All of the stuff that he had been taught, Jew on Jew, Jewish tradition, he was zealous for all of that. Okay? And then he says, "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb," and we say, was God there in attendance? No, it's by design. God created a woman to be able to produce a child. So by God's design, he's active in every birth. Okay? "So when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me," how? "By his grace." Grace is charis, unmerited favor. So we use grace about a woman being gracious, being a good hostess, moving, in a very elegant way and so forth. We speak of grace that way. No, grace is unmerited favor. Basically, grace is something for nothing. Yeah. Now, somebody had to pay the price, and it was our Lord. "So, to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen or the Gentiles, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia." Now, how long did the Lord spend training the 12?
3 years.
3 years. Yeah. Okay. Now, Paul goes into Arabia for what period of time?
3 years.
So, this is a 3-year college. Okay? "And neither I went up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus." Now we see, when he returned, he preached again in the synagogues. And when he preached in the synagogues, he confounded the Jews. He spent 3 years getting a course from our Lord, for what? For the church age. See, because the Jewish age ended with the crucifixion, burial, and resurrection of our Lord from the dead. They were told to tarry in Jerusalem until you be what? Endued with power. So they had to wait until they were indwelt by the Holy Spirit so that they could preach the word of God, with the authority of God. And the natural man doesn't understand the things of the Spirit of God. Now, basically, everything the apostles learned, they learned as our Lord was teaching Jews under law. You know? And we can see James remained legalistic for a long time. And then finally James got his mind changed. You know? And Peter speaks of the Apostle Paul and in his epistle some things that are hard to be understood. You know? So New Testament doctrine comes primarily from the Apostle Paul. Okay? So now what do we have in the book of Hebrews? We have New Testament doctrine applied to the Old Testament. That's what the book of Hebrews is all about. And who had that ability that wasn't an eyewitness of our Lord Jesus Christ? Well, Apollos certainly had that ability because Aquila and Priscilla took him aside and expounded unto him the way of God, what? More perfectly. So Aquila and Priscilla were, they worked with the Apostle Paul, and Paul continued to support himself through his missionary journeys by making sales and making, my mind goes every now and then. Yeah, tents and sails, yeah. And basically, in that era, and still, even in this era, in the desert, tents makes a pretty good place. You put it up, roll the sides up so you get a breeze through and have some shade. Okay, so now we're reading the history of Paul so that we want to see the influence of Paul on the book of Hebrews, and there definitely was a Pauline influence on the book. Really, it's, it's God's influence because, Paul referred to the gospel as my gospel, but, he was the one apostle that was taught after the crucifixion, burial, and resurrection of our Lord from the dead. So he was taught things in the light of the indwelling presence of the Spirit of God, and in the light of crucified, buried, risen from the dead, showed himself alive for 40 days, and then ascended into heaven, and the people that were raised with him, and people missed that. There was an earthquake while the Lord was on the cross, and with that earthquake, you could look over the hill just down below Golgotha, is the Jewish cemetery. And those graves were opened, but the bodies were in the grave, but they could see the bones of the dead in the graves while Christ was on the cross. And then as we read in the Gospels, then we read that when Christ was raised from the dead, then those graves that were opened, they were raised from the dead. So what's the scripture say? Christ, the first fruits. First fruits is actually plural. No. So it wasn't just the resurrection of one person, but Christ was raised first. And then in every harvest, you have the first fruits. And then you have the main harvest. And then what comes after that? The gleaning. So what's going to happen? One of these days, we had the first fruits when Christ was raised from the dead. One of these days, the trumpet shall sound. We'll have the main harvest. And the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. So every believer is going to be taken out of this world at a moment in time. Okay? And then after that, the Antichrist is going to come. And when he comes, there won't be anyone who knows his left hand from his right hand, spiritually speaking. So it will be very easy, and I believe that the Antichrist will be Judas Iscariot. And who could better, what did the disciples say when Jesus said, one of you shall betray me? They all reflected on themselves. Is it I? No one said, oh, it's got to be Judas. No one said that. We can read the Gospels, and it seems to be pretty apparent to us that it was Judas. But it wasn't apparent to them. So Who could better counterfeit the ministry of Christ than Judas, who his whole ministry with our Lord was a counterfeit? He was the devil incarnate. All right, so coming back to this in Galatians, then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem. Where did he spend his time? Well, he was in Damascus. He went in the synagogue, and they were kind of upset with him. So he went into Arabia and spent 3 years with the Lord. And so during those 3 years with the Lord in Arabia, Paul got the, basically, all of our New Testament doctrine. I mean, granted, when the Spirit of God is, leading the man, they don't have to get it from anybody else. But it's just that of all of the apostles, just one of them was trained after the crucifixion, burial, and resurrection of our Lord from the dead. And one of them is in that position to see the sacrificial system and what it pointed to. In the Old Testament, they had a lot of understanding, but nobody saw it perfectly. Yeah. It's just like when we go read the Old Testament scripture. Sometimes it's very difficult, and there are other times we can see Christ in the Old Testament very plainly. Yeah. And been there all along. It's just for the days in which it was written and the way in which it was written, it's more difficult to see all of the types. Okay. Now, I want to go back to, but when it pleased God, verse 15, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son, how in me, in other words, I'm going to be a witness of Jesus Christ. I'm going to reveal the Son of God to a lost world, both Jews and Gentiles. Okay? That I might preach him among the heathen or the Gentiles. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. And then he says, I conferred not with flesh and blood. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me. But I went into Arabia. Now, in Greek, you kind of have to shove things around a little bit to make it make sense in English. So he went into Arabia, for 3 years, and then he returned to Damascus. Yeah, that's basically what it says. And then, so when he says then after 3 years, well, after he spent 3 years in Arabia, and after 3 years, he went again onto Damascus, and abode, and I went up after that to see Peter, and I abode with him 15 days. Now, how much time has elapsed? Well, our Lord was crucified, and Paul was probably saved in the first year after the crucifixion of our Lord. It could have just been months. It could be as much as a whole year. So then when he was saved, he went into Arabia, and then he made a trip to Jerusalem 3 years after what? After his salvation. And then he went up again 14 years after. 14 years after what? 14 years after his salvation. So that would be maybe 4 years after the crucifixion of Christ, or, 16 years after. See, so we get those in sync. And then, of course, when he went up 3 years after, the Lord told him not to try to testify to certain Jews that were there from the Gentile nations. He said, they won't receive it. They tried to kill him. And then he goes back to his hometown. And we don't hear anything about him until later on when, Paul and not Silas. Paul, the first missionary journey.
Yeah, Paul
Barnabas. Okay. Barnabas was sent north. And he was there for a while, and then he went over and found Paul, and they came back, and they stayed there for a whole year. And then there was the revelation of Agabus, and you know, that there was going to be a dearth. And so they took relief to Jerusalem. And after that, they came back. And then that's when Barnabas and Paul left on their first missionary journey. Yeah. So, but we have it would be 12 years. 12 years, we don't hear anything about the Apostle Paul. Well, make it 11 years because 1 year he was back in Damascus. Okay? So now, he says, then, and I was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ, but they had heard only that he which persecuted us in time past now preaches, and they translated it properly here, the faith. Definite articles in the Greek. And preaches the faith which was once he destroyed. And that was quite, you know, that was quite an eye-opener. Now, here we have a man who was an enemy of the church, had letters from the high priest to be able to persecute the church, and the Lord saves him. And then he becomes what? Really the primary proponent of the faith. So, when he says, then 14 years after, well, he, you know, he went up 3 years after, then he went away, came back, and then he goes back 14 years after his salvation. And when he returns from that, then he goes on his first missionary journey. Now, let's go back to Hebrews now. Okay, so we saw over in the book of Corinthians how that Apollos was a man from Alexandria, and he was mighty in the scriptures, but Aquila and Priscilla had to take him aside after he finished preaching. They didn't interrupt or say, no, you don't have it right. They took him aside and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. It just filled him in on some things that he didn't know. So then we have an individual who is described as being an eloquent man. We read the book of Hebrews, and it is eloquence, believe me. So it says, God, who at sundry times, or various times, and in various ways, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, you know, and we go in the Old Testament, and a while back in one of my messages, I took you to the 22nd Psalm, which was written by David, and we have a description of the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ. All of the things that take place in crucifixion is in that 22nd Psalm. And so, that is the writer of the book of Hebrews. And really, we need to understand the author of all scripture is whom? It's God. You know, all scripture is given how? By inspiration of God. And, you know, it's all from God, in God's time, in God's way, you know. And with Saul of Tarsus, now he's saved after the crucifixion of Christ, after the burial of Christ, after the resurrection of Christ. He sees him, you know, and spends 3 years with him, you know, being taught. And so what does he have? He has directly from our Lord a vision of the church age that's laid out to him. And then when we read the 13 epistles that Paul wrote, certainly we're going to see Paul in Hebrews, because Paul had an influence over Apollos. He had it through Aquila and Priscilla. So when we go on, then it says, God, who at sundry times, or at various times in various ways, spake in times past unto the Father by the prophets. And some books of the Old Testament are much easier to see New Testament truth in than others. But all of them, it's the Word of God, and you just have to read it in light of who's writing and to whom and in what age. If you don't get that straight and you try to transfer it directly to Christians in this age, it doesn't always fit because it wasn't given to us. I mean, the Lord never gave us the law. He gave the law to the nation of Israel, and the nation of Israel said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. Now, most people think in their minds that they can keep it, you know, and they think most churches, because the pastors don't know themselves, the church is not under the law. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to whom? To everyone that believeth. So when they get into this legalistic mode of, well, people will look at your good life and want to be like you. I've never found anybody that wanted to be like me. Not from the standpoint of, he's such a bastion of faith, blah, 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 blah. No, I'm a sinner saved by grace just like everybody else. And do we do things that we wish we had never done? Absolutely. Did the Lord know about them before the foundation of the world? Absolutely. The fact that he forgave them, does that mean he approves them? No. He paid for them with his own blood on the tree. We have to get a view of ourselves in the light of our relationship with the Lord. And we've been forgiven, so therefore we're to be what? Paul tells us, you've been forgiven, be forgiving. See? And that seems, I'm forgiven, but I'm not going to forgive them. Or some bit of that didn't make any sense. And so he goes on, God, who at sundry times in diverse manners, spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by whom? By his Son. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's the Spirit of God that causes holy men of old to write as they're moved or borne along by the Holy Spirit, whom he hath appointed heir of all things. Everything that belongs to Jesus Christ belongs to you and me as believers in Jesus Christ. Where the scripture calls us heirs, and then what? Co-heirs or joint heirs. So what does that mean? His inheritance is our inheritance. We can't earn it, And there was inheritance that was offered for keeping the law, and the Jews, thought that they could do it, and they said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. They should have said, all that the Lord has spoken, it's impossible for us to do. But, people do not see themselves as they are. They can see everybody else's fault, but they can never see their own. That's just part of the human condition. Do you know what he said or what he did? He looked at that girl with lust in his heart. You mean you never did? that's pretty stupid, but people, I can remember some sermons in chapel. I went to three different Bible colleges, and some of them were so far from the truth, it was incredible. Legalistic, 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 And yet they're claiming faith in Jesus Christ. Well, I think some of them were actually saved, and I think many of my professors were just professional religionists. Whether they were saved or not, it wasn't manifested by what they said. And it should be manifested by what we say. I'm a sinner saved by grace. All of you are sinners, and if you're saved, you're saved by grace. Grace is unmerited favor. There's not one thing about us that deserves salvation. But we have it. Why do we have it? Because God so loved the world, they gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever, that means whoever in the world will believe on him. And then he gives us the faith to believe. So we can't even brag about that. So he hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all. Everything that is going to happen or has happened, is happening, or ever shall happen. Ultimately, when the Lord establishes his kingdom, and we're going to live in the kingdom for 1,000 years, and then he's going to create a new heaven and a new earth. And interestingly, there won't be a sun in our solar system in the new heaven and the new earth. The Lord himself will be the light of that city. You know, the light that we get from the sun is what ages us and kills us. You know, and I've seen some people, and then when you see them later on, you know, they're muscular, got good builds and so forth, or a gal's got a nice figure, and they're out there in a bikini, an itsy bitsy teensy weensy yellow polka dot bikini. But it's so small you can't even tell that it's got polka dots. You know. And there's nothing sexy about that. You know, either that or I'm crazy. or too damn old, I don't know. But the bottom line, I just laid it all out. I like to watch the old Perry Mason shows and the old Hogan's Heroes. Yeah, I got it mixed up with the movie. Anyway, you know, but in those old things made back when I was in high school, and then a little bit later, but women dressed nicely, and they wouldn't think of going out to dinner in a pair of cutoffs. Well, you know, they dressed up to go to dinner. In fact, they would dress up to go to the market. You know, it was just a different age. You can say, well, you know, that's a little impractical, but it was nice to see, you know, and have some elegance and some manners and so on and so forth. Were people sinners back there? Absolutely. They're not just men upon the earth that do it good and sin. No, they just look nicer. Okay. So, by whom also he made the ages, it's translated worlds. You know, we mark time by ages. And of course, you know, we can only go back so far for in human history. And but the bottom line is God has existed for forever. There was a time when he created this universe, you know, and all of it has, a purpose in his ultimate design. And, after the millennial reign of Christ, and then he's going to create a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth what?
Righteousness.
And, you know, when we see him, the scripture says, we shall be like him. That's incredible. And the reason that we can be is because he's recreated us and we've gotten rid of the blood. The life of the flesh is in the blood. The sin nature is translated from father to son, father to daughter, through the blood. That's why Christ could be virgin born and not have a sin nature, because all the blood that flows in our veins comes from our father, not our mother. So blood type, all of that is determined by the father. So then it says of him, who being the brightness of his glory. Who is Jesus Christ? He manifests God in physical terms. Yeah. And the express image of his person. Well, God is incorporeal. You know, God doesn't have a body except in Jesus Christ, because the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one God, a triune God. But when we see God, we will see God as Jesus Christ. Because, well, it's like, you know, I know virtually everybody here, and some better than others. And we have personalities, and we have knowledge, and so forth. And that's all of that that is in our head, is invisible. You know, we can manifest it, like I might go to the blackboard and start working some really complex mathematical problem. There was a time when I couldn't do it now. You know, I haven't used math for 46 years, other than just simple math and balancing a checkbook, you know, but that type of thing. But, you know, I learned math in the Air Force much more than I learned in high school. And they took us from just general math, you know, first of all, just learning to count, from general math all the way through calculus in 2 weeks. And when we got through those 2 weeks, we knew what we were doing. You know, they waste so much time in school with a lot of unnecessary things. And they leave the fundamentals out. It was amazing. You know, when I was taking algebra in high school, I never ever thought about that little equal sign that's one side of equation, the other side of equation. So when they said, if you do something to one side of the equation and do the same thing to the other side of the equation, it's still equal. But they didn't make that, you know, I guess I was just dumb. That equal sign didn't really gel in my mind. You know, that's why if you treat both sides of the equation the same, then it's still equal. And that simple little fundamental is neglected in just about every algebra class in the country. And you can't depend upon kids to just automatically, well, it's got an equal sign there. You know, I'm just a dumb kid. Can't read or write? Whatever. Okay. So, who is Jesus? He being the brightness of his glory. So what God is, you know, in all of his glory, Jesus is in human form. And the express image of his person, everything about Jesus Christ expresses the holiness, righteousness, and justice of God. So God that we can see is Jesus Christ. And upholding all things by the word of his power. You know, how come planets just don't spin out of orbit and crash into one another, and this and that and everything? It's in perfect order. You know, and part of that order is, yeah, we have comets and things of that sort. That's part of the order too. And because in some area there, you know, there's no possibility of you know, some planets or some bodies in the universe get bombarded by more you know, flying debris than other. You know, why? I don't know. Part of God's plan somewhere, but I don't know why. And so he says, the express image of our of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. When he had by himself, we're talking about Jesus Christ, when he had by himself purged our sin. Now, no other person who ever occupied a human body can that be said of. You know, Moses, who wrote the got the law from God on Mount Sinai, never kept the law. No one from the human family ever kept the law. The Jews said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do, but not one single Jew, except Jesus Christ, who is virgin born into the, you know, tribe of Judah. He's the only one who ever occupied a human body that was sinless. And one day, when we see him, what's the scripture say? We shall be like him. And so it says, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself done what? Purged our sins. That means gotten rid of them all together. A cleansing where there's nothing left to be charged to us. When he had by himself purged our sins, did what? Sat down. Why? He sat down at the right hand of the Father. And if the devil accuses us, and he does every day, because what do? We sin every day. He said, see there what they're doing? And he said, it's under the blood. It'll never be remembered against them ever. You know, and God says, case dismissed. Well, we'll have to stop there. I intended to go a whole lot further. Is it further or farther? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we praise you and thank you for the marvelous truth of your word. And we recognize that whoever wrote the book of Hebrews, and we know it couldn't be an eyewitness, and of the people that we know in Scripture, it appears that it's Apollos, but the obvious writer of all Scripture is the Holy Spirit of God. And all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or complete, have everything that we need, so that we can do the work that you called us to do. We just praise you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.